the way to make the non-boring, the way to make the boring consent calendar non-boring. Thank you, Commissioner Robbie. Okay, item 1421, sorry.
Accept the final annual report of the Public Safety General Obligation Bond Program Independent Citizens Committee.
Okay, I think we have folks here to present on this item, a now completed body of work. Good
morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Commissioners and Mr. Mayor. My name is Kirk Hall. I'm the chair of the Independent Citizens Committee. We're going to present a brief annual report to you. This, I think, is our fifth report, and it's, again, it's good news, fifth successful report. I'm joined here today by two of my fellow commissioners, Nikki Johnson on my left and Mick Seidel on my right, and they'll each be making a short presentation as well. Just to remind you, this was a project based on a bond issue in 2010 that funded four projects, the Emergency Coordination Center for roughly $19.8 million, that's finished. The Fire Station 21 for roughly $10.5 million, that's finished, both successfully, and we reported those to you in the past. And the two open projects that are nearing completion are the Fire Apparatus Replacement Project for roughly $22 million. That's due to be completed by December 2017. And the Public Safety Emergency Radio System Project, roughly $50 million, maybe the most complex project. That also is slated to be completed roughly December 2017. So this may be actually the last in-person annual report that you get from this committee. I'm next going to introduce Mick Seidel, or ask Mick to briefly go over just a few details about what the bond was and what the ICC does.
I think the council is probably familiar with the background, but to remind you, there was a $72 million general obligation bond issued in January of 2011. As Kirk indicated, it was generally around emergency and fire protection issues, and the bond issue had embedded in it the Citizens Committee oversight. I was fortunate about 3 or 4 years ago, Commissioner Fish asked me to be on the committee, and I'll say again this year what I've said I think the last 2 years, which is that it's really been a pleasure to do this, and it's something that, unfortunately, more citizens in the city don't have an opportunity to see the accountability and the way things really do work well in the city. So it's been a pleasure for me to do that and work with my fellow committee members. I think that the committee has been successful in doing what our mission was, and we are winding down the process. So it's, again, it's been a pleasure, and I think that the council should be very confident in the work that's been done.
Thank you. Now I'm going to ask committee member Nikki Johnson to read our ICC assessment. And sorry, this is the most important part of what we do, so I've asked her to read it all. It's only about half a page.
Yes. We'll try not to make this too boring. So this is the assessment of the Independent Citizens Committee. As previously noted, the ICC held quarterly meetings with city staff who were responsible for each project funded by the Public Safety GO Bond. ICC members were to review the progress of each project. In addition, each project received guidance and input from project oversight committees. The members of the ICC found the information provided by city staff to be comprehensive, timely, and informative. Staff members have been responsive to ICC questions and have supplemented their regular presentations with additional information upon request. ICC members also provided city staff with various ideas and suggestions concerning the projects, to which city staff were responsive. The relationship between the ICC and city staff has been collaborative and productive. The ICC does not provide either a financial or performance auditing function and can only proceed with the information presented at its quarterly meetings. With this observation, ICC members believe they have been kept fully informed by city staff and are satisfied with the quality and presentation of information presented regarding the projects. Based on the information presented to the ICC, it appears that the projects funded by the Public Safety GO Bond are consistent with the voter-approved purposes of the GO Bond and that expenditures to date have also been appropriate. Review of the multi-year projects has revealed that there were no service interruptions or major schedule upsets. Furthermore, there were significant savings to taxpayers through the frugal use of bond money. Since the initial bond sale, less bond money was raised by bond issuance than originally approved by taxpayers. This and the fact that city staff consistently found ways to purchase more with less led the ICC to conclude that the city has used taxpayer money wisely and responsibly. Overall, the ICC members are impressed with the focus and professionalism of the city staff responsible for executing these projects and appreciate the staff's courtesy and responsiveness.
Thank you. And again, yes, I was really impressed with the quality of the work of all the city bureaus and the people that we met with over the years. And so I would say this is actually a successful model. If anything like this happens in the future, this is a successful model that maybe the city will want to use again. Do you have any questions of us before we yield to Aaron Beck, Marco Benetti, and Carl Larson to give you individual reports?
Questions?
Okay, thank you. So I'll ask for Aaron Beck to give financial report, Marco Benetti to give a report on fire apparatus progress, and Carl Larson to give a report on the radio program.
Thank you very much. Good morning, and come on up.
Hello, my name is Aaron Beck, and I'm with OMF Business Operations, and I work with the project team and the Oversight Committee on the finances for the program. And this morning, I'm just going to give you a quick recap of the overall finances for the GeoBond program that was approved by Council and the voters back in 2010. If you'll turn to the spreadsheet after page 4 on the report, you'll see a comparison of the program's overall budgeted revenues and expenses with actual revenues and expenses through the end of last September. The original budget for the program was just over $101 million, and when factoring in the cost and resources for the radio system replacement and emergency coordination center projects. For example, the emergency coordination center project, the GEO bond program only provided $4 million of the total $19.8 million for that project. And this spreadsheet shows that the voters, the $72.4 million that the voters approved was the primary resource for the program. The current budget is $104 million, and that increase from 101 mainly is for grants that the apparatus program and the Station 21 project both received, and then some other resources that became available for the Station 21 project. So through September of this fiscal or this year, we've spent about $87.1 million. One of the requirements of the council had for the program, in addition to the oversight committee, was that prior to the final debt sale, an in-depth analysis be done of the cost to complete the program to determine if any savings could actually be passed on to the taxpayers. And so prior to the third debt sale that we had for the program, we did that analysis, and we realized that we had savings in the Station 21 project and in the radio replacement project, and we also had interest earnings. And so we factored all of that together. And what that meant was that we could actually wouldn't need to sell the entire $72.4 million that the voters had authorized. We actually spent about $1.87 million less. We sold $1.87 million less of bonds, and that ultimately resulted in savings to the taxpayers. So right now, we are just in sort of the latter stages of the program, and with our OMF's requested budget, we will be including these two remaining projects, and then we anticipate closing out the fund in about in fiscal year 17-18.
Great. Thank you very much.
I have a question about that. Okay. Certainly, it's a good to save taxpayers' money whenever possible. Was the bond so specific that there weren't additional infrastructure needs in Portland Fire and Rescue that it could have been used for some of the other projects?
It was very specific for the four projects, Station 21, radio replacement, ECC, and the apparatus. So we would not have been able to use any of those bond proceeds for, like, say, fire infrastructure for fire stations. It's very specific.
But what about other apparatus?
other apparatus we would have been able to, because I think that there was it was fairly broad in that respect.
Just knowing how constrained the general fund is almost every year now, I'm a little bit concerned that we didn't use it for more apparatus, and I'm hoping that the 5-year is not going to be coming to us in this budget or the next one saying, please give us $1 million to do apparatus purchases.
Yeah, that did come up within when we were doing that final analysis of the program.
Thank you.
So what do you think of that idea?
I'm Marco Bonetti, Deputy Chief of Logistics, Portland Fire and Rescue, and I think currently we're on track to purchase all of the apparatus we've identified that was in the GEO bond. Mm-hmm. We're down to two final apparatus, a foam unit and a dive van that we're just about to order. Additional funding for more apparatus would be a good way to spend that money, as Commissioner Fritz identified. Our ongoing replacement cycle, we use our frontline apparatus for 15 years and then put them into reserve for 5 years. So the GEO bond's intent was, prior to its passage, was to catch up our replacement cycle that was deferred year over year for probably a decade prior to the passage of the bond. We've been able to catch up to a point where we're just about the break-even point, but we, the Fire Bureau and the city, will definitely need more apparatus. We're into the regular general fund monies now purchasing our replacement apparatus. We just recently ordered two more tiller trucks. That's about $2 million or $2.3 million. So any additional funding, if it could come out of the bond, would be beneficial for fire, but that would be a decision the chief and council would have to make.
Well, I'm glad you raised the question, Commissioner Fritz, and obviously you, Commissioner Saltzman, and the Bureau might want to examine that question. We have to stay true to the voters' intent, obviously, and mm-hmm. and not, go spend bond proceeds on something that the voters didn't authorize. But since, apparatus purchase was one of the purposes of this measure, and you mentioned actually something in passing there, Chief Bonetti, which is the issue of foam trucks. I'm very happy that we as a city have decided we're not going to have massive fossil fuel export facilities in our city, but one thing we don't have control over is whether the railroads move oil through our city in trains, and having seen the incident in Mosier, I'm glad you're buying foam equipment, but the question I guess I would pose is, and we've talked about this, is do you have robust enough foam equipment for the kind of incident that just occurred in Mosier? Is that a purchase that we ought to think about making in terms of the inventory of equipment the Bureau has? So, on that specific point, I would say take another look, and certainly on the larger question of is there apparatus that it's reasonable for us to include in a capital program funded by this bond versus the Bureau coming to the Council in the upcoming budget process and saying, we got these capital requests that will be competing against the rest of the Bureaus for one-time money.
Just considering that if it's $1.2 million, we've got 600,000 people in Portland, that's $2 each. And I personally would like you to invest my share of that into getting more safety equipment.
Okay. That's a good point. We'll definitely take a look at that.
Yeah, as our run volumes increase, the wear and tear on our apparatus is, increasing as well. Our repair and maintenance costs go up the older the apparatus gets. So by maintaining our ongoing replacement cycle and minimizing the impact of a possible catastrophic failure of our older reserve apparatus that are pressed into first-line service, being ahead of the curve on apparatus replacement for emergency response and just the public good is a really good investment in the city.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Great. And one last thing. To date, the GEO bond has purchased 29 apparatus for ongoing resources that will serve the city for the next 15 to 20 years.
That's great. Thank you very much. Anything else? Yeah, I interrupted your presentation.
No, that's fine. I was going to keep it brief, but that's a very good point. And it's money is always a challenge when it comes to the apparatus replacement. As technology increases, manufacturing costs increase, we want to maintain our technological advances and not purchase the old stuff with old things. We want to make sure that our investment is prudent for whatever the technology is in front of us. So we try and weigh the costs associated with what that new technology might be, but we also want to keep our safety features associated with protecting the people on those apparatus up to snuff, and that comes with significant costs also. So we're doing our best to keep the cost down and making sure that these work trucks are designed just for that. But we also want to make sure we have the best quality and the best apparatus because they got to work every time that you need them.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. Carl Larson, Public Safety Systems Revitalization Program. Probably the last time I'll have to say that whole title. And first, I'd just like to compliment the Fire Bureau and the representative here, because any time I come before the council and I get money thrown at me, I would be doing handsprings in the back. So I think that's good. Now, we certainly appreciate being able to talk to you at least one more time. We'll probably be back in front of you for a final report on the radio project to give you a final wrap-up of it. But for you, Mayor Hales, and for Commissioner Novick, it's nice to be able to speak to you one last time on this project, because although this project was started before you came into office, this project was really the bulk of it was done with you and with Commissioner Novick's assistance and support. So we appreciate that very much. The project, if you look at it, touches all of the bureaus, all of the commissioners in some form or another. Your employees take advantage of the radio system. Over the last year or so, we've touched 15 radio sites, 14 of which are in operation. One has been decommissioned. We've touched more than 12,000 pieces of equipment in those radio sites. Over 6,000 radios, both handhelds and mobile radios, have been touched and will be touched again for this project. The project actually went live in 2 weeks in October. October 12th, we turned on what we call the East Simulcast system, and the next week we turned on the West Simulcast system, and the day after we had that catastrophic event on 23rd. So it was unfortunately a good test for our radio system as well. And then, of course, all of the activity that happened in November and for all of the public safety operations to be able to take advantage of the new radio system, that went extremely well as well. So we've had a lot of good successes. We've touched not just radio, though. It's important to look at what else we touched in the project, both shelters on three or four of the sites that we have upgraded or repurposed, if you will. Generators at those sites have been upgraded to make sure that they are going to work under catastrophic circumstances. Backup emergency battery systems have all been touched at those sites to make sure that they're working. And all of the communication between the radio sites has been upgraded to internet protocol, which allows us to take advantage of many of the features that are coming down the radio system as we go into the future. So lots of different things that we've got here, but not just public safety. For just Multnomah County, but a lot of different agencies, from schools to hospitals, are touched by this project. So for Public Safety Systems, PSSRP, myself and my co-project manager, Mark Tanner, are excited about seeing this being wrapped up here in the next few months. We're just a small part of a very complex project. We know that all of the employees that we've been able to work with for all the bureaus have been wonderful for us, both for police, particularly for police and fire. We've had a couple of people that have really taken the project by its tail and really made sure that we had all of the information taken care of for those specific agencies. But we've had a number of employees, BTS comms employees, our engineers, our technicians that do that, working with the BOAC staff and making sure that their needs are met. All of these things have been taken care of, and we've been very, very successful in the radio project itself, along with the ICC, and helping us analyze and really digest the type of information that we know is important for the public to see. So we're pleased with the project. We'll be back one more time to tell you about the conclusion.
Great. Thank you all. Questions for our team that has managed this big effort? Thank you. Thank you very much.
I wanted to say thank you to the Independent Citizens Committee staff. They've been a joy to work with, and echo their statement about this is a model that should be followed in future geobonds and other types of resource management. We've had a great relationship with financial staff. They've kept us on track and helped us figure things out at times. And all these projects were very, very complicated, a lot of balls in the air all the time, and everyone involved did a phenomenal job. So I want to commend everyone involved, and thank you very much.
I would just add that, in fact, we are following this model. We have a Parks Bond Oversight Committee, which is five people. We'll have a Housing Bond Oversight Committee, also five people. So you've set a good path for us to follow, and we are following it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, before we take action on this report, is there anyone else wants to speak about it?
Yes, I have four people signed up.
Okay.
The first three, please, coming up are Nancy Newell, Joe Walsh, and Crystal Ilinski.
Good morning. Go ahead, Nancy.
Good morning. Should I go ahead?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Okay. This is related to public safety.
It's related to the bond project.
The bond,
please.
Yes.
Just on the bond project.
Yes.
Please.
Well, it's all these officials would be involved in a nuclear accident. And the nuclear plant just was shut down about 2 days ago in frozen conditions. How many people on this council know that? How many people know that we're on the Bonneville transmission line? How many people know how much risk there is? Arnie Gunderson, who pointed out that those were three meltdowns in Japan. This can be a meltdown situation. You're talking about catastrophic conditions. This you can't control. It's in our waters. It's in our waters already with all the flushing of radioactive water. This is a 31-year-old plant that is design failure. Arnie Gunderson got out of the engineering business with the nuclear industry and is one of the biggest critics, and he is totally credible, and he knows what he's talking about. I've asked this council several times, will you please pass a resolution? You are now paying the most cost of any customer, and I just had that proved by Robert McCullough, and you are also subjecting us to radioactive cancers. So I am asking that this council pass a resolution. I don't know how much money this group has in order to respond to a radioactive accident because nobody talks about it. And this is an oversight that is inexcusable. It is something that should have stopped a long time ago. 13 governors of the Northwest demanded that it be shut, and it was stopped by the federal government. We're in a similar position now. We have 28 mostly public utilities that refuse to listen to reason. I don't really want to be part of another nuclear accident. I already have been in Three Mile Island. I know what goes on. I know the chaos. I know the storage of the waste. I know that there's no place to put it. You know that.
Uncle.
You've got all the facts. You're getting more facts as our soils and our water are contaminated by Fukushima and people can't eat fish in Hawaii. Why do we want to be part of that history when our own governor was wise enough, Barbara Roberts, to say that's enough? Now we have Fred Miller as our budget director. He's going out. He left the country because of his involvement in Enron. And that's the truth. The county ran an illegal election when we tried for public power and did an illegal ballot title, and I won my federal case. And what did I get? One page in the Oregonian. Well, all you're going to have is a page in the Oregonian, and public safety will have records of all the people that have cancer because you didn't do your job. And I'm asking you, for the future of our children at least, get it done. Talk to the administrator. He can close it tomorrow. There were frozen conditions, and nothing was done. Nothing is done, and it's ongoing. And it's an active, worse than a nuclear bomb, because you can't stop it. You get a nuclear accident, you can't stop it. And I'm asking you to please pass that resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Ms. Linsky, I think you're next.
Oh, I thought Joe was next.
No, whoever. Let me catch my breath. Go ahead.
Okay. I find two contradictions here.
Crystal, please put your name in. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's been a while. And I was going to perfect it by next week, but I heard you canceled city council next week. So I'll try to be perfect next year. My name is Crystal Ilinski. I represent 10,000. I find two contradictions coming up about one is oversight committees that we don't have them on a lot of our boards and a lot of our bureau committees that handle certain projects. And I don't know why there's such a discrepancy, how some get them and some don't. It seems arbitrary. And those that do, I'll say Housing Bureau, for example. I mean, that's where we should have it, obviously. But when we have it in places that do seem to work or even ordained by, well, the federal courts, then we want to somehow dismantle them, like the citizen oversight on the advisory board on the Judge Simon's 2012 DOJ agreement. And now that was only yesterday. I remember testifying, and all of a sudden we're talking about getting rid of it. So that was weird.
The other thing, speaking about health concerns, is I'd really like you to get that activist lawyer you kept talking about to come and look into this in addition to Monsanto. We are complicit. We are responsible. I talked about that last week. It is on all of us to change this, and this would be a good route for us to go, is to hold those responsible and to make sure this doesn't happen again. But if we're going to be exposing our emergency, I've testified about the Portland cops with their new machines and toys, and how actually it turns out that they're exposed to more and more electromagnetic radiation. And I understand that the new technology they come out is not improving the bad technology they came out with for emergency responders about 10, 15 years ago. Can't remember what it's called right now. But what I've read is that as far as health safety, as far as the concerns for the exposure to electromagnetic radiation, our responders, the people that are supposed to keep us safe, are not safe. And I'd love to yield the rest of my time to my colleagues here.
Thank you very much. Mr. Walsh, go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Right off the bat, Individuals for Justice really supports the fire department. We like the fire department. One of the few bureaus that we really like, because they try. They're not perfect. They just try. We don't see that up here at all. You people do not try. You just make decisions that you think are right, and the hell with the citizens, over and over and over again. So we object to you, Mayor, voting on this, because this is going to have implications to the following mayor. And we will object to everyone that you vote on and Commissioner Novick votes on, because you have spent 4 years corrupting this body. That's our opinion. We hope that you sit on your boat, and when it gets really boring, you start to think of all the people that you murdered on our streets. 88 last year. That you did. You stole their blankets. You stole their tents. You, Mayor, that's what you did. 88 people died because of you. And even the professionals that you appointed said it was not necessary. 88 human beings. Sit on your goddamn boat.
Mr. Walsh, not in this room.
Sit on your boat, then, and look out at that sunset and say, I am going to hell, because that's what I wish for you. You to go to hell. And take that guy with you.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays. Who else would like to speak?
No, Charles, not happy Johnson. Holidays.
Charles
it is
Johnson.
A sad day.
That's not funny when 88 people die.
Who'd like to speak next? Come on up.
Good morning, commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And I don't know how well people relate to this presentation, but they should know that the ICC, the Independent Citizens Committee, does have a fairly comprehensive 21-page electronic attachment on this. And we learned that, kind of as Portland usual, Fire Station 21, it's on page 5, looks great, as it should, for being $2 million over budget. Our radio system maybe going to come in under budget. But whenever we talk about public safety and emergency, it's actually important to go back to item number 1420, when Mike Withey talked about the fact that thousands of people are unsheltered on our streets. Now, we know that this is bond money. We can't save lives of homeless people with that money, in theory. That would be unconstitutional or illegal. But Ms. Newell mentioned the fact that there's all kinds of risk to the city that, you know, while we're doing our little bit with this general obligation bond money, Bechtel is raking in a lot more money to screw up Hanford, where the Columbia Generating Station is. And so I hope that as we finish out this last bit of money, we'll make sure that when things go wrong at Hanford CGS, our fire department has resources to deal with whatever fallout will come. I think that that needs to be part of when we consider that the big one is coming, the earthquake, the preparedness, we'll take down our current courthouse because we haven't seismic upgraded it. We're working on that. Bye-bye, veritable quandary. But that our emergency services departments need to be prepared for things that will originate outside the Portland city's limits, including until we get it shut down. And even after, I mean, Hanford's been not been sending, you know, giving us plutonium to nuke the world with for a few years now. But there are additional risks. And the other thing that I didn't hear mentioned is what percentage of our residents are now living above the 10th floor, above the 12th floor, above the 20th floor? We have a new fire chief. I'm sure that the existing infrastructure in the fire department thinks about these things, but we also should. What if that gas explosion in Northwest had happened next to a 20 or 30 story building? Have we purchased adequate fire safety resources to protect office workers or people that live 300 feet off the ground? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any further discussion? If not, is there a motion to accept the report?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Novick?
We always really appreciate people who sit in volunteer citizen committees, especially ones that aren't particularly glamorous because they're just sort of seeing how we're spending money that we decided to spend and making sure that we're doing it the right way. So we really, really appreciate our citizen advisors' work. Thank you so much. Aye.
Well, thank you to former Commissioner Randy Leonard for passing this bond in 2010 and to all the folks who've put such a lot of hard work into it to make sure that that money was spent on the right, the things that were promised. Thanks especially to Nicolette Johnson, who served as my representative on the committee. I really appreciate the work that she and the others have done. And I do appreciate, Mayor, you and Commissioner Saltzman, you're going to look again as to could we spend the last amount that was promised in order to buy more equipment. Thank you very much. Aye.
Fish. We referred this to the voters in 2010, and Commissioner Fritz, I think, has appropriately acknowledged Commissioner Randy Leonard, who was the author of the referral and then ran the campaign. The day after the election, we nicknamed him Landslide Leonard, because he won that 50% to 50%, and it was literally hundreds of votes was the margin of victory. And after all, we've had a great tradition in this council referring things to the public and asking their permission. The children's levy, the parks bond, the housing bond, the gas tax, the arts tax, public safety, GO bond, and we wish that we had more resources from the federal government, the state government, and a more stable tax system so we didn't have to do this on such a regular basis. But the voters gave us their okay, and what we owed them was a report that we spent the money wisely, and that's what we're acknowledging today. I want to thank Mick Seidel, who was my appointee. I met Mick before I was elected. He's a prominent consumer and plaintiff's employment lawyer. He's the kind of lawyer that we hope doesn't sue the city because he rarely loses. But he's a public-spirited person, and he threw himself into this assignment, and we owe Mick and all the volunteers a big debt of thanks. One historical note about the referral that we sent to the voters. Commissioner Leonard, in 2010, proposed that there be a small amount of money carved out to help fund a memorial to fallen firefighters. Every year, one of the most solemn things we do in this community is we gather at the Campbell Memorial, which is on Burnside, and we honor men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice serving our city. And we remember Chief Campbell, for whom that memorial is named, and one of our vessels is named. In 2010, the council and Commissioner Leonard made a decision to take that money out that could be used for a replacement memorial. Colleagues, I hope this year, as a broad community coalition is moving towards raising private funds to build that memorial, I hope through our special appropriation process we can find a way to make a contribution on behalf of the citizens of Portland. We owe our fire bureau and the men and women who serve a lot, and I think it's an appropriate use of our funds to honor those who've perished keeping us safe. And I hope either on the anniversary of Chief Campbell's death or on the anniversary of 9/11, this council can announce support for a community initiative to build the new memorial on the Vera Katz Esplanade, which I think would be entirely appropriate. Thanks to all who worked to make this day possible. I'm proud to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank Portland voters, first, for approving this general obligation bond measure. I want to thank Commissioner Leonard for bringing it forward and the Oversight Committee for their diligence in making sure that we have spent this money wisely. I believe that we have, and I believe as a result we are a safer, more prepared city with a new fire station, a new emergency communication center, a new radio system, and a host of other things, too, that are all important for assuring the safety of Portland residents in time of need. So thank you to all those. And I also wanted to note that we also purchased, with this bond money, four rapid response vehicles that allow the fire and rescue department to provide a more nimble response than sending out a ladder truck or an engine, or both, with an AMR ambulance for low-level medical calls. We can use these RRVs, or rapid response vehicles, staffed by two people to respond to these low-level medical calls, and I think it provides a more nimble response and a more cost-effective public safety system. So again, thank you all for your service, and please to vote aye.
Hales.
Well, this is a case of both citizens playing a really appropriate and constructive role and capable people in public administration delivering a success. And it's one of those things that probably won't get a lot of press attention, but deserves to, because one more case where the city of Portland has carried out the voters' intent, gotten the job done, even had a little money left over. So excellent work all around. I had a little bit of involvement in some of the issues that had to be worked out for this program to succeed, including that difficult negotiation with Gresham about a location for one of the radio sites. But we got to yes on that as well, thanks to your good work. And this is a great program. And for any kind of emergency, as we've just seen a couple of times here recently, we have to be able to communicate with each other. And so that radio system is key. Having the equipment that we need and the facilities that will be there after the earthquake to serve people that will desperately need help is part of the work of the Fire Bureau. And this advances all that. So well done. Well done indeed. Aye. Okay. Let's take up our